taking a look at some of the data that's come out over the course of the past week out of the US, we still have this issue that although central banks have raised interest rates quite a bit so far, and markets are getting excited that maybe they're tipping these economies into recession, and that you know they may be able to take their foot off the brake before long, the data's not really pointing that way. It's still pointing towards a lot of residual strength running through economies. And we can see that in, for example, you know, the non-farm payrolls data that came out of the US on Friday. And you know, wages growth running faster than expected. The market was expecting that average hourly earnings would lift 0.3% in the month of July. They lifted 0.5%, so the annual rate of change, rather than coming below 5%, is still above. It went from 5.1% to 5.2%. Non-farm payrolls are just incredibly strong. There was an expectation that after two back-to-back really strong months, where we were in the mid-300,000s for lift in jobs, that you know we should pull back to around about 200,000-250,000. It went the other way, and we had a ballistic 528,000 jobs created in the month of July in the United States. That's up from an upwardly revised 398,000 the month before. Net result, the unemployment rate actually came down to 3.5% from 3.6%. 3.5%, the lowest unemployment rate since 1969 in the United States. It's also quite strong in one or two of the other indicators we got last week coming out of the US. For example, we had the ISM manufacturing PMI came out. That was expected to fade to 52 from 53. It actually held pretty well at 52.8, so that one quite strong. The services sector ISM PMI was at 55.3. Market thought that had come back to 53.5. It's gone up to 56.7. And we've got quite a deal of evidence in the US that spending is moving towards services strongly in the US. And one result of that, of course, is that services uses a lot more labor relative to goods production. And so, you know, this can keep things quite strong for quite some time. Factory orders, another sign of strength in the US. They were expected to rise in June by 1.2%. They rose by 2%, and the previous month was revised up to 1.8% increase. And you can see consumers starting to get in on this with, you know, they've got strong income anyway, but they're starting to borrow quite a bit as well. We had June consumer credit. The lift in that was one of the strongest we've seen so far in this cycle. There was a $40.15 billion lift in consumer credit in June. That's up from $22.35 billion the month before. So all of this suggests that, you know, the Fed still has a fair bit of work to do. That's not the way financial markets in the current euphoria are thinking. But there's every sign in this that the Fed probably has to deliver another 75 basis points in its next meeting, and that still won't be the end of it. So just watching for these pressure points to show a little bit, where some of what we've got used to over the last few weeks, which is strong rallies running through everything from bonds through credit through equities, might just start to get challenged by some of this data, which is just not playing ball for the time being. And this week, we'll be watching just to see what happens with the July CPI. You know, we've got both the producer price index and the CPI coming out in the US, both July readings. Now, market thinks these are going to settle back. If they do, then this might keep the euphoria going just a little bit longer. So the July CPI comes out on Wednesday. Market thinks that the increase will be only 0.2. There's some chance that that could happen because remembering that, you know, we just had a bit of a topping off in petrol prices and those sorts of parts, which might just be enough to get this to a somewhat lower result. But the problem with that is that service prices are actually escalating in the US, so we've got some offsets against that as well. But the July CPI, the market thinks that there'll only be a 0.2% increase in the CPI after a 1.3% rise the month before. If that were to occur, the annual rate of inflation would actually drop from 9.1% to 8.7%. It's not quite there in the core CPI because the core CPI still expects to rise about 0.5. That would actually lift the annual rate of core inflation from 5.9 to 6.1. So a little bit of a mixed bag there, but it's pretty important that it comes in near market expectation. If it's an upside surprise, that won't be particularly comfortable. And we also get the same sort of feeling with the producer price index. What we've got there is headline producer prices are expected to rise, but only 0.3%. They come out on Thursday after a 1.1% increase the month before. If that's the way it pans out, the annual rate of change in producer prices fades back a bit from 11.3% year-on-year to 10.4%. And core PPI, the core, and that's taking out food and energy prices, we would see maybe a 0.4% month-on-month increase, and that would bring back the annual rate of change to 7.7 from 8.2. So just watching those, they're going to be the key readings through the course of this week, and will have a very important influence on sort of the way in which both bond yields and the equity market reacts as we go through the middle part of this week. Still, there's this bit of euphoria running through these markets, but there's some signs that there's some potential challenges to that overestimating how quickly central banks can start to take their foot off the brake. Now, moving to China. And here, we've got a little bit better data. Now, there's lots and lots of problems running through the Chinese economy at the moment, but we're getting just a slightly better readings coming out through the services sector and also through the trade sector. So through the services sector to begin with, we got the July cakes in non-manufacturing PMI came out. It actually lifted to 55.5 from 54.5. The manufacturing PMI went the other way. So the July cakes in manufacturing PMI came down from 51.7. to 50.4, still just above the expansion contraction line, but more susceptible to these threats of lockdowns, which are still running through China for the time being. We also, over the weekend, got their trade data and surprisingly strong export growth for China. It was expected to be up 15% year-on-year. That would have been down from 17.9% going back the month before. It actually went up slightly to 18%. So that part of China's economy is actually going well. And on the import side, we had a little bit of a recovery running through there with lockdowns becoming less prevalent, but not quite up to expectations. So that was up 2.3% year-on-year after being up 1% going back to the month of June. But China's economy has been at a very, very low ebb running through the June quarter. Just watching to see whether there's any signs of this improving. We know there's issues still running through residential construction and some mortgage holders very unhappy and in revolt against paying money on buying housing, which is supposedly in construction, but has effectively stopped. So still quite a number of issues there as far as China's concerned. As far as data's concerned, they get some inflation readings. They're pretty well behaved by comparison with other countries. We get the July CPI coming out there on Thursday, and it's likely to settle back to 2.4% year-on-year annual inflation from 2.5%. That's low by the standards of everybody else. And producer prices too, which earlier in the year were running around 10, 11%. They've come all the way back down to the sixes. And so it was at 6.1% year-on-year going back to June, expecting that to be down to about 6% year-on-year. China's that odd place where there's some flexibility, where policy can be expanded, monetary policy, rather than being in contraction as it is in most other places. Australia last week, we had the Melbourne Institute inflation gauge came out for the month of July. That's the first month of the third quarter. And it was a pretty hefty reading. It was 1.2% month on month. That was after a 0.3% reading. So it's an indicator. Middle of the first month, this is July, so you tend to get some lifts in residential energy prices, both electricity and gas, some of that feeding through into that. You also get the new financial year lift in government charges, so yeah, that's all piled into that. But yeah, it's still looking pretty high as far as inflation's concerned. We had ANZ job ads came out. They have been at very, very high level, and they came back just a little for the most recent month by 1.1%, but are still very, very strong. We also got June home building approvals came out. They fell, but a lot less than the market expected. They were down by 0.7%. The market was expecting a 5% decline, and the previous month was actually revised upwards from a 9.9% increase to 11.2% increase. They're still down year on year, but not quite as soft as the market was anticipating. We got June home loans came out. June home loans were down by 3.3%. That was about where the market expected, after being up 2.1% the month before. These are obviously starting to reflect higher interest rates. And on higher interest rates, the RBA swung in twice last week with both its decision and its monetary policy statement and forecasts. The RBA rate decision, no surprise there, up 50 basis points to 1.85%. And the commentary that came out with that was along the lines that should still expect a further increase towards normal interest rates. They're not on a predetermined course. They're just trying to give people an idea that, you know, they can change their mind from meeting to meeting depending on what the data shows. But the way the data's swinging at the moment is still very, very strong for Australia. And we saw that with a reading of second quarter retail sales. In volume terms, they beat market expectations. Market expectations are quite strong at a 1.2% quarter-on-quarter increase. They came in at 1.4% in real terms. That was after a 1% increase going back to Q1. So we've got a very, very strong contribution from retail sales to consumption spending and GDP when it comes out in early September for our Q2 GDP read. And similarly so with the June international trade reading, which was just unbelievably strong. We saw a lift in the trade surplus to a new record. It went from $15.01 billion. The market was expecting that to slide a little bit to 14. It went the other way and has lifted to $17.67 billion. I was just doing the maths on the three readings for the months through to June, and it looks like the nominal trade surplus over that period was $18 billion higher than it was in Q1. Now, that's one hell of a contribution in terms of net exports coming through to GDP as well. So yeah, we've got this risk that the next GDP read is going to be a very, very strong read, suggesting that the Reserve Bank's still got a fair bit of work to do. And that brings me to their monetary policy statement, where huge revisions to their forecasts again. That's all we've ever seen from the Reserve Bank every 3 months, you know, their forecasts revised out of sight compared with where they were before. And what they've done with the latest ones is they've factored in a bit of their interest rate rise. So they brought back their GDP growth forecasts looking out over the period to the end of 2024. But they've lifted, again, their inflation forecasts. They've recognised some of the strength that's been running through the labour market and have got that running through their wage forecasts. But I would term the forecast they put out as being a little bit Pollyanna-ish. What they're assuming is that they're going to be able to slow the economy enough without hitting recession. It will just be enough to cap out the tightness running through the labour market. Inflation will go up a bit more before it comes down, but they'll get everything back in line by the time you get through to the end of 2024. And they'll do it on the assumption that, yeah, they can get the cash rate up a little bit more, perhaps 2.6, 3%. Obviously, given the way in which these forecasts have had to change many, many times over the last year and 2 years, there's no reason to expect that these forecasts are going to fall in place the way that the Reserve Bank's expecting. That's not to say that they will necessarily go on the wrong side, that we'll have to end up with much higher interest rates. It's just there's too many working parts to make forecasts that have much currency beyond a week or two these days. So it's going to be very, very difficult, I think, for the Reserve Bank to dial exactly what it's got in these forecasts. And in the very near term, it's a question of too much strength running through economic activity. And so, for example, their very first forecast is going to get blown out of the water very, very soon as far as GDP growth is concerned, because they're assuming that annual GDP growth only lifts a little from 3.3% in Q1 to 3.5%. There's every sign that GDP growth is going to be a 4 on the front of it with the June quarter, given the contributions we're seeing running through some of the recent data. And similarly so, their unemployment rate, they're assuming that, well, they've already got a wrong number in there for June. They've got it at 3.8, which was their forecast because they hadn't seen the labour force data. Of course, that was in at 3.5. So we're already running lower than where they expect on the unemployment rate through that. So there's some upside risks there as far as inflation comes from GDP data, from the demand side. Having said that, some of the supply side issues, we're getting a little bit of a lull running through things like petrol prices, so that might help them a bit, but it makes it very, very difficult with these sorts of forecasts. But moving through to what's coming out this week, we haven't got a great deal. In fact, it's not this week, but next week, which is going to be really important. Next week, we'll get things like the latest quarterly wage price index, and we'll get labour force data. But this week, we have mostly sentiment data. On Tuesday, we've got the NAB business conditions and business confidence survey. These are still holding up very, very well because business profits are still belting along. Yes, there's concern about where they go next if the economy slows, and particularly in certain sectors, but for the time being, they've never had it so good. And so NAB business conditions was at plus 13. That's a very strong reading. Business confidence, even with the threat of higher interest rates, was still above zero. It was at plus one. So you've still got just a margin of optimists over pessimists running through that. Not quite the same in Westpac consumer sentiment. This is where we got something of a split in what people are saying and what they're doing. As far as the Westpac consumer sentiment survey is concerned, it's been down for many, many months now. It's expected it was down 3% going back to the month of July. August will show another negative sign on the front of that. But as we saw through the retail sales data, people are spending like there's no tomorrow, and particularly on services, to the point where you get these repeated stories about airports caught behind the game now. They've got to lift things because you've got demand, which is running 20% above where it was even before COVID set in for travel. It's just totally inconsistent. People will spend like fury in some of these areas, but they're still saying, no, we're not spending anything. We're cutting back everywhere. We're really gloomy at the moment, but it's not what they're actually doing in practice. So you've got this bit of a dichotomy. Makes life very hard when people like the Reserve Bank are trying to forecast exactly what's going on. And the RBA governor, unfortunately, is going to get tested like no tomorrow when he goes before the Parliamentary Economics Committee. That always follows the monetary policy statement the Friday after. So this coming Friday, the whole morning will be spent where he and his deputy will be sat there as they get posted by questions. He's good at answering them, but this one will probably be more uncomfortable than most when it comes out on Friday. Moving to Europe, and high inflation problem. The Bank of England last week had to go back to lifting rates by 50 basis points. The meeting before, it went back to a 25 basis point increase. That's partly because it's really fearful that high interest rates are going to tip the UK economy into recession. It's actually growing okay at the moment. So they've had to go for a 50. They've now got their cash rate up to 1.75%. So they had their meeting last week. And as far as continental Europe's concerned, the EU, the data still comparatively firm. We've in some of the leading indicators, we've just got the first signs of the worry about what happens when winter sets in. Now, it's still high summer there at the moment. So the energy problems, which are expected to hit in spades as we get into the winter quarter, which is still 3 to 6 months away, still not hitting, but they're there on the horizon. They're expected to dampen growth a lot. And you can see it perhaps now in the PMI data. So the July manufacturing PMI has come down a bit to 49.8 from 52.1, just under that 50 mark. The services sector PMI still holding up, but is coming back. It's at 51.2 from 53, going back the month before, but still in expansionary territory. The unemployment rate in Europe is still extraordinarily low. It held down at 6.6%, 25-year low point for the unemployment rate, running through the month of June. So they've still got something which is common all the way around the world is tightness in labour markets. But we did see a little bit of a pullback running through June retail sales, down 1.2% after being up 0.4% the month before. And a very slight fade in annual growth in producer prices. This is where you've got this horrific problem of growth slowing and very high inflation. The PPI in Europe in June, the annual rate came back to 35.8% from 36.2% going back the month before. But there's still a whole lot of pipeline inflation there still to run through. In Europe this week, it's relatively quiet. You're into the August holidays, and basically we get just Centex investor confidence and an industrial production reading, but not key readings coming out of Europe through the course of this week. So for this week, we start with that euphoria which has been running through financial markets for a few weeks now. It should have been tested quite a bit by that labour force reading or the non-farm payrolls reading that came out in the US last week, which suggests that the Fed there has a fair bit more work to do. But they may wait until they see what happens with both the CPI and the PPI in the US it's on Wednesday night and Thursday night, running into the respective mornings next day, our time. So we have got some testing data, and the way that data's run over recent months has still been to be a bit on the upside of market forecasts, so some risk there with those readings coming out.